Looking for the next big thing in consumer electronics?
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Tech entrepreneurs, analysts, and journalists are gathering in Las Vegas for the annual Consumer Electronics Show. So far, there's word that Lego has come out with a new robotics kit that can talk to smartphones and tablets. Marketplace's tech reporter, Queena Kim, is at CES, and she's with us now from Las Vegas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so Queena, first of all, how important is the Consumer Electronics Show for the people in the tech industry that you cover all the time?
Well, CES has a long history. It's been around since 1967. It's where Tetris and Xbox were unveiled. And while a lot of the big computer companies have lowered their profile in recent years, it's still considered really important, and it's expected to draw about 150,000 people this year.
And you've been there already over the weekend. What have you seen so far at CES?
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things, but nothing super surprising or super wow. One theme has been consumer health. So there was a company called Happy Labs. They unveiled what they call the world's first smart fork. They say it'll help you lose weight by making you eat slower. If you eat too fast, the fork buzzes.
Wow.
And Lenovo introduced a 27-inch computer that's basically a shareable tablet. It's touch-sensitive, but lots of people can touch it at the same time.
A shareable tablet. So you would sit around and play with the tablet with your friends. Why would you want to do that?
Well, that's a good question. And I actually asked Lenovo about it. I talked to Samuel Ducey, who works in Lenovo's corporate strategy and planning department. And he says Lenovo, along with a lot of other companies, are trying to create a new category of personal computing.
Tabletop computing, as some people call it. You basically have had these desktops with big monitors, but it always stays in that up position. Here, as you see it now in tabletop, more people can gather around it. They can share all the different types of content that they have, whether it be photographs or video or music.
So those are just a couple of things I've seen, but there's a lot more to come because the show opens up to the public tomorrow.
Marketplace's Queena Kim in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if shareable computing is going to be a hit or not, but shareable data collection is, at least for some people. I'm talking about scientific data and specifically new mobile apps that are transforming cell phone users into citizen scientists. Lina Anwar has our story.
Just a few years ago, coming back from an early morning hike with some pretty photos was about as productive as you could get. Now, new mobile apps make it easy for nature lovers to contribute to science, too.
So we're at a really interesting-looking tree, which I happen to know is a sycamore tree in this case.
That's Sophie Jarek, a fourth-year student at UCLA. She uses an app called Project Budburst to monitor trees as the seasons change.
I'm going to take a picture of this tree. And it automatically finds a location for me. And it's pretty accurate, so I'm just going to go ahead and submit done.
Recording exact locations and times for every observation is a cumbersome part of collecting data. With these apps, that's taken care of.
And I can add any notes that I want. So I'm going to say that the leaves have all fallen and that the plant is nearing the end of this stage.
She hits done, and her phone sends the info to the Project Budburst database, a public database that scientists can access to see if plants are hitting growth stages at the right time. Other apps track things like air pollution, endangered species, and water conditions. James Alamillo is the urban programs manager at Heal the Bay, an organization that works to protect Southern California beaches. He says these citizen science apps make it easier to spot suspicious patterns.
Now you have a mechanism for collecting a lot of data from a lot of sets of eyes and a lot of set of users that before didn't exist or that was unknown.
Alamillo says as improvements are made to weed out inaccurate information, more academics are getting on board. Having an army of volunteers can help them save time and money. Project Budburst, for example, has over 13,000 users. Sophie Jarek says being part of that community makes her feel useful.
It feels like I'm actually doing something. It's something you can just do in your spare time and feel like you're really being productive.
And getting outside, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Lina Unwer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. Down 0.5% right now in Frankfurt, up 0.5% in London. Global bank regulators have reduced standards for the amount of capital that banks have to keep on hand. The hope is that looser standards will allow banks to lend more money in struggling economies. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow tacked on 43 points to close at 13,435.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
College football's BCS championship game kicks off tonight in Miami, and some of the people who will be in attendance got there because of options, as in futures options. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Let's say you're a Notre Dame fan and you really want to see them play Alabama. Good seats, 30-yard line, you're looking at maybe $2,000 from an online broker or pay a scalper whatever. Another option this year was to go to the game website and purchase an option to buy a ticket at face value, a few $100, if your team made the championship. Russ Calkins is an Oregon Ducks fan. In November, Ducks options were around $200.
So I would pay them $200 for the potential to buy a $500 ticket a month in the future.
$700 total, better than a couple grand later, but also a gamble. The Ducks didn't make it, so he'd have lost his $200. This market isn't much of a gamble, though, for game organizers, says Kenneth Shropshire at the Wharton School.
Here's another source of revenue taking up some of the space of scalpers and ticket agencies.
Who, to look at current prices, are doing really nicely. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, to the phrases most likely to be associated with corporate fraud, according to Ernst & Young, as in, these are the phrases you should not use in email messages to coworkers. Cover up, off the books, I want no part of this, don't leave a trail, and my favorite, nobody will find out. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.